All right, welcome to another episode of No Quitters, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. I'm your host, Clem. I'm joined by the Alliance. We got, let's see, who do we have here? Let's see what was the order tonight. We had Reeves, Cons, JJ, Eddie. We were just trying to figure out what the fuck just happened on this episode. I think some people have no idea what the hell just happened. Others, based on the mentions, do have an idea of why tonight was 60 minutes. It was the weirdest episode of The Challenge we've ever watched. Before we even had the episode tonight, obviously we have to discuss some stuff that had happened off the show that I think has made the news. I was figuring out where to put it. I think we kind of have to address it off the top. It made sense to address it off the top regardless, especially after tonight's episode. Just a weird, what is that? It's coincidence. What's the word I'm looking for here that tonight was a very D-centric episode?
Serendipity?
Serendipity. Is serendipity a good word? I don't want to use it as like a good word, but serendipity
usually has a positive connotation to it.
Right. I'm trying to think, it just happened.
Yeah.
Couldn't draw it up.
All right. So to set the scene, I think most people have seen this because like when like the New York Post is writing articles about it and shit like that, and it's on like actual news outlets. Had a couple of comments about Black Lives Matter as all the different protests were going on, the George Floyd murder, everything that's gone on.
D said, "I've been Black Lives Matter since I lost my virginity." That's what she said.
I actually didn't know what she said. So that's what she said.
Wow. She had said something else too. There was like a reply to another comment. There was a couple things out there. So MTV was like, "Boom, D, you're gone. You're out. Fired." From future seasons, which I thought was interesting. I mean, I know why they made the announcement, but she joins a list of people who they kind of just like, you're just like, oh, we don't see them anymore. But there's never, okay, was there an official statement that Kenny and Evan were gone?
No, never. No. Back then, because also back then when they were kicked off, social media didn't have the presence True. That it has today. So they yeah, just that, I felt let like them that was, quietly go away.
I felt like it was just a Challenge circle thing. Like everybody who really, really watched yeah. the Challenge kind of knew it, and then it was talked about within the circle, but it never made news. Like I think if you search it, there's a few stories that pop up, but it's not like national news like this.
I mean, back when they did it, like they were barely kicked off.
Yeah. They weren't kicked off so much as they were just not asked back.
If that well, I think Camilla is a greater comparison here.
And that was my next thing. Camilla got kicked off, which now, okay, so this is the thing. Camilla had said something during the season. Right about somebody she had made.
She called Leroy
comments.
Like a.
Yeah.
Said something like "you black bastard" or something like that, where it mm-hmm. wasn't like a racial whatever it was. It wasn't a racial slur, but it was like the tone and the way it, like you know,
like she was looking down at him. It was It was fucked up.
Yeah. Totally wrong. Like yeah.
But, she just didn't say the word. Like she everything she, about it. She
was trying to. Yeah, she was trying to semantic it.
Right.
And I remember that night, it was a pretty big deal. Like, it was like, oh, shit, like, Camilla really – and she ended up winning that season, right? And then she – we were never going to see her again kind of a thing.
She punched a PA. She beat the shit out of a PA.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, so then that was, like, the final straw. So, like, she had a lot of shit going on.
And now she's pregnant with a baby. So she's bringing more life into this world.
It's what we need.
And we also had – so, and then – I didn't even know about the D comments at first. This was before everything had run with it. But then Swaggy had a thread. Kind of, he said, D acts like a villain on social media, calls out cast members crying her eyes out every day, saying she's struggling. And then she's kind of saying back and forth. He says, D's going to text me, hey, I want to make sure you and Bailey keep me blocked and still talk bad about me. I'm thinking of storylines for season 36, like with an emoji. Everything is not for clout. You fuck like the clown. Says she was doing alleging coke while she's on the phone, cloud chaser, all this kind of stuff. Kind of just saying she sucks, right? And if, don't talk about my wife, and don't you dare use Black Lives Matter for clout. People die every day, which I think might have been her other line that she might have said in her reply. Which I mean, you can't say that. It's just fun. Been Black Lives Matter since I lost my virginity. If you support D, you're a clown. She's a culture appropriator. Peace, Twitter. And then obviously that led, and I don't know what you know, God knows what else happened behind the scenes on the show, whatever with D, she's gone. Corey, his baby mama number two, Taylor, it got fired. And I think my wife said, like, there was supposed to be a Teen Mom special involving the two of them either tonight, tomorrow, one of these nights.
It was supposed to be Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, so last night. So that obviously got yoinked. So, I mean, interesting times. I mean, crazy times, obviously, in real life. And I think there's a lot of other podcasts that can do a much better job describing all that shit. We've been anti-racism on this podcast from day one. Fuck racism.
Day one.
Fuck all this shit. And, you know, go to another podcast if you want to listen to much more of a breakdown than that. But, I mean, this stuff even hits MTV. And that's why tonight's episode was so choppy for people, right? My guide said it was an hour and a half long. I had a bunch of people who said it's an hour long. I think Dee was actually in the description for the episode, so she was going to be the focal point. And we had seen, I believe, on either the next on from last week or during the commercial breaks, there was like Bailey and Dee were fighting. They were like arguing with each other. And that obviously just gets edited out, which is crazy. Again, whatever the word is for that coincidence that tonight's the episode where all that stuff goes down is kind of crazy. I do not envy the editor that had to chop and make that episode. I actually think they did as good of a job as you could do, which, I mean, it still wasn't great, obviously, because Eddie's head exploded, I think, at some point during this episode.
Eddie said, what are we doing with this season? Like, that was Eddie's tweet.
I mean, they said, like, out of respect, we're not going to cancel the season, but Dee's banned. Whatever, I get it. Sure, bar her for life. I completely get it. But after watching that, if that's what we're going to get again, they might as well have canceled it. That was horrendous. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get that again because, like Clem said, this was the D-centric episode.
Well, Clem, so to your point, I'm reading it right now. It says, Bananas, Rogan, and Jenny hatch a plan to blindside D. We were all blindsided that D was blindsided.
How do you even say that? And then on top of it, it was a shitty, stupid challenge.
Yeah.
And then fucking like playing a claw machine, grabbing flags. That was like maybe the worst episode I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Worst that ever, Ed?
That was bad, dude.
There's never been an episode like that either. Like, there's never been one that choppy. There's never been one where this, like, the star of the episode, in a way.
No plot. No,
there was zero plot. There was a
beginning and an end.
Right.
That's it.
Well, okay. So I think that is the, I think this is what happens when you have to literally gut the middle of the episode. Is I think the episode was going to be kind of Bailey versus D. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Josh cried. We missed a Josh.
Oh,
like a Josh, like, fit, right?
So yeah, in the ball.
And whether or not that came because of this, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? That would be part of this based on the alliances and his kind of, like, rivalries. That, I don't know. I think I'm fucking pissed we missed a Josh cry, too. But I think that's the reason why this episode got so choppy. And the craziest thing is our first note for this shit was Bear gets let off the hook because Bear was in the news too because he got yelled at for not social distancing. He had like a 30-person party. He kind of did the Dak Prescott with a bunch of fucking blokes over in England or wherever the fuck he is. And I think the police had to come to his house because he had, I don't know if he was yelling about his girlfriend or something. And I guess
it's Bear life.
Yeah, just living Bear life, exactly.
Like, that's Bear.
I don't know where you guys want to take it here. But I mean, we could go in the order of the episode. It's kind of a weird fucking breakdown. But it is what it is, right? So, JJ, what do you have about? I guess just the night in general. What were your thoughts on how everything went there? The episode.
It made like the gap just fueled me getting to hate Josh more because he was like. He was just talking about, not backing anything up. It was like, Wes is gone. So he's like, Bananas pod hates that I'm kicking his ass right now. And, like, Bananas doesn't give a shit. He's got a red skull. He's just like, yeah, whatever. This guy's taller than me. And then I was waiting for him to have some kind of – and maybe it got edited out. You know, at some point when he was doing a confessional? Is that what they're called?
Yes. Yep.
When he's doing the confessional, you could tell he's always saying what he thinks other people are saying. Like, he doesn't believe anything he's, like, coming out of his mouth. But I bet there was some point where he, like, flexed his power that, like, really doesn't benefit him at all. He still has no red skull. He just, you know, he's the king of ladies' night.
How pissed were you when this episode started with him in that face mask talking to Nani?
Oh, my. I mean, like.
Listen, I get skincare. It's important, but just maybe not do that while you're on the challenge. Like, right. Why would you even think, like, oh, I got to pack my face masks when I go to freaking Prague?
And he was just sitting there by himself. Like, I thought he was doing it as, like, a joke with Nani.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, he's just sitting there with the face mask on.
That was such a dickhead move. Whoever said he looked like Dwight from The Office when he has the fucking CPR face mask on. That was a great call.
That's a good one. Oh,
man. The challenge. So the challenge was just, I mean, again, like, I don't know if they had to edit out, like, the D parts of the challenge. I can't imagine that was good, right? And whatever, but
this just wasn't a good challenge to watch. I'll be honest. I watch on, like, a little bit of a delay to skip commercials. I fast forwarded through so much of the challenge. Yep.
The, like, again, they threw tanks in there to kind of make it cool. They had, like, some scary national anthem, which is probably just the Czech Republic national anthem in general. The smoke going off, like, it's probably a little different. If it's one of those things that might be more fun if you're doing it, maybe not, because it kind of sucked too. Using cardboard boxes, use something worse than cardboard boxes and make it, like, explode into people's faces. I don't know.
I'll say this about go ahead.
No, you go, Kanza.
I was going to say about the tanks. I mean, tanks are cool. Don't get me wrong. Tanks are cool. But when there's tanks every episode, are they that much cool anymore? Like, they lose sort of the luster if every challenge you have a tank involved in some way, shape, or form. You even saw in the Nexton, there's something to do with tanks.
I feel like you rent a tank for a certain amount of time. It's like when you buy a package of episodes of Ridiculousness, so you just use it again and again. And again. That's what MTV's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
It did look like it might have been fun to do, though.
That's probably a blast to do, because all you're doing is picking up flags. What they should have used, like you said, instead of the plastic, or instead of the plastic boxes, they should have used, like, the crates that you see, like, storage crates or whatever.
Yes.
That's what they should have used.
They have to have those in, like, it has, like, the Soviet fucking, like, hammer and sickle or whatever stamped on it somewhere. Like, give me something like that.
They got to cost, like, 12 cents.
Remember in Street Fighter when you used to throw the guy through the box and it would break? Like, I could get down for some of those things breaking. That would get me going.
It was a little dangerous with those flags. The poles, it looked like you could have gotten impaled by that when you were picking it up.
Yes,
potentially.
Yes, very dangerous. Very dangerous stuff right there.
You know what else they should have done? Let the people that weren't on, like, the tank at the time throw the bombs at the people that were going. Like, get everybody involved. Since it was an individual challenge, you could distract somebody by just throwing their smoke bombs in front of them.
The flags could have been moving on, like, a windmill. Right. Like, there were so many ways it could have been cooler, and it was just terrible.
Mm-hmm. Like, one out of every seven flags is electrified or something, like, just a little buzz. We went from the point of, it's like, all right, give us cool shit every episode to, like, we're sick of tanks halfway through the season or three quarters of, but, you know, it's a valid point.
I just thought of something. If we harken back to our Nickelodeon days with Double Dare and we get some slime on the flags, make them a little harder to grab, or maybe even drive drive the tank faster.
I honestly had no idea who even had – they're talking about points and who had the most flags, least flags. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
I think the white flags were worth, like, 10 and the red flags were worth 5 or something like that. I don't know. It made no sense. It was – I, like JJ said, he fast-forwarded. I just, like, kind of stopped paying attention.
It was kind of the perfect way to get into this episode. You know what I mean? I'm happy we didn't waste a good challenge on a shit episode, right? So that's kind of the glass half full. I have to say this too. TJ just going right after the cheater's fucking necks. He's going for the throats. He's like, "Oh, you bitches who cheated, you're fucking out. You're eliminated. You're disqualified."
You could tell you could tell when they'd flash to him that he's just like, "You fucks." And, like, there's a director, there are producers, there are people who are actually making the decisions, but you know he's just like, "I won't stand for this."
I say it's a second. Like, there are three things TJ hates in life. The first most are quitters. Second, cheaters, and third, when people get answers right in trivia. He loves everything else in the world.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
I will say this about TJ. My favorite thing is that he calls it my final. Like, you have to qualify for my final.
He takes ownership of it.
TJ,
I appreciate that. It kind of gets, like, the final I don't get excited for until I hear my final. I'm like, oh, if this is TJ's final, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Ed, did you have anything else to say about that challenge? Because I could tell there's a fire burning inside of you right now. So if you have anything in your heart, let it out right now, Edward.
No, I it was boring. Like, I was texting during it. There was nothing. Yep. Like I said, I was like, why wouldn't they move the flags? Like, you know, like a mini golf course thing, like put it in a windmill where, like, you actually got to try. But it was just dumb. it was just a dumb challenge.
Yep, it was a dumb challenge. Captain Hardo, how do you think you would do in this challenge?
I mean, I'd like to think we would all have done pretty well. You didn't really have to do much except stand there and put your arms out.
And not cheat.
That's how I know it's a bad challenge if I could do it. Right. Yes. I was like, oh, like I could do that. Any one of us could do that. We would get a flag. You
like,
know?
Like present day us, we would have been top three.
Yeah.
This is actually what they're going to bring us to whenever they bring us onto a challenge. They're going to have us do a challenge, and if we can do it anywhere near good, they'll be like, too easy. Got to keep going. Those fucking five fat assholes can do it. So we have to go back to square one.
You watch it like that, and you're like, you know what? Sometimes, like, just shoot free throws blindfolded or something. Like,
right. That would be better.
You just know? Play a game of knockout.
Yes. Just do something, like, simple that's better than all that production. It was terrible.
You mentioned mini golf. I honestly would have rather watched him play mini golf.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Mini golf.
A couple of years ago, they did soccer when they were both blindfolded. Yeah. And the other teammate had to tell them where the ball was. And that was entertaining. You know?
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. I will say, like, yeah, you could do some sort of a sport, whether it's like free throws, golf, and like it explodes at some point. The ball explodes, you know, all that kind of shit. You guys remember Perfection, the game Perfection? And you just don't know when that thing's going to pop and the board's going to pop.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, even at home, it would probably, like, give me anxiety watching all these idiots do it. But something like that where you don't know when the explosion is going to take place, I'm in for it.
You know what would have made it maybe a little bit better? Instead of having them strapped in, just have them ride on the side of the tank and make them jump off to get the flags and then jump back on to the tank. That's completely dangerous and totally unrealistic. But that would have been much better.
If someone completely underqualified was driving the tank, that would have been good. So
yeah, one of us. That's what they should have had us drive the tank with that.
All right. Here's how they should have done it. You should have gotten a teammate. One dude drives the tank. The other dude gets the flags, and the flags are not in a straight line. They're just set up all over the place along the course.
No, I disagree. You, the four of us are blindfolded. Connor has to direct us how to drive the tank, and then put the flags everywhere. All Let right. everyone else throw the bombs, the smoke bombs, at the people playing. Like, let's just make this as aggressive as possible.
Yeah, Connor, we have to have talked about this, obviously, because tanks are in every other episode. Do you know how to drive a tank? Do you personally know how to drive a tank? How long did it take you to learn?
Oh, it's not hard. I mean,
it's
like,
not hard at all?
No. I mean, it's just getting used to the feeling of a tank. I'm
what
not
a ridiculous
to...
statement that sounds.
I'm sorry.
You just gotta feel that purr between your legs, and then you'll know.
I like saw the light bulb go off in JD's head. I'm like, he's waiting just to respond.
Right oh now. My god!
It's just a little different than a car. Just a little different. I mean, I've driven tanks, and then I've also driven Paladins, which is essentially very much similar to a tank, but it's just got a huge 155mm cannon attached to it as the main weapon. So it's just like a bigger version of an Abrams tank, but I've driven both of those.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. Now this is the part of the episode where it just like my notes are all over the place. The vote, again, I don't know when all the shit goes down with, Maddie puts herself in. The only thing I have.
That was so stupid. All those girls should have been like, no, I want to go in. Why are you letting her go in and then saying like, oh, I'll let these other people decide for me.
Nani, in like the next minute, it's like, I'm so mad I didn't go in. It's like, well, then
anything.
Yeah. That's kind of like I said this like a couple episodes ago. It's like, why does the first person who say it, you're like, all right, they go in. It should now be like, instead of it being people who say, don't vote me in, it should be people making the case to be voted in. And once the Red Skulls are getting down to the nitty gritty, especially now that D is two of them. So, I mean, I don't know what the fuck, how they're going to figure all that shit out. It's just weird. Maddie puts herself in. She had huge hoop earrings too. Humongous hoop earrings. I just had to make a note of it. You don't see those every day. I'm sure JJ saw his fair share growing up.
Oh, yeah. But the real ones had then in the hoop, like across like their name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah. I remember those.
That was a good time. That's fingering with jeans still on. That's a good time.
And you knew it was based on the way they spelled their name. Like, if you had a Kristen with a Y, that's when you were doing that.
We go to partying.
Oh, so. And just and also, though, too, like, if you had the hoop earrings with the name, but also the nameplate around your neck.
Oh.
There for a wild night.
All in cursive.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Fucking way back machine. By the way, for anyone who doesn't want us talking about when we were younger, find another challenge podcast.
You're on the wrong podcast.
That's all we have for you. Especially like on an episode like tonight, we're going to be relying on that shit.
We're going to spend 30 minutes on Nelly.
last week, Clem was texting me well into the night about WrestleMania 8.
Yes.
My wife was like, "Yo, who are you texting right now?" I was like, "Oh, Clem." She was like, "Oh, is everything all right with the show?" And I was just like, "We're talking WrestleMania 8." Like, she was like, I'm going to sleep.
I had no idea that just the depths of the Ric Flair Hogan match that never happened. And it sparked me when I got down like a Wikipedia rabbit hole, a bunch of different wrestling sites. I went into a weird place.
Did you guys all sing along to Nelly when it came on?
Yes.
Yeah. So singing along.
Yeah. We got this tweet, Geeds, G-I-E-D-S. He said it's the perfect last song for a pregame. I mean, it plays in the middle. It plays in the beginning. It plays at the end. But like, we've all left the house, and that's the song playing as the door closes as you're going to the bar. And fellas, it's been a long time since I've been in that world or I'm going out to the bars, partying with my friends. Let me tell you, I was back there in my brain, even during this quarantine. God damn. Like, I was trying to think, what are some other songs that you put up there on like that level? Because I think that's basically tier one. Would you say that's the best Nelly
song?
Hey Ma is 100%.
Hey Ma, leaving the house. The Uber pulls up to Hey Ma. Yeah. And we got it on the night.
Yeah, that's 100% it. Back in the day before everything came out, like R. Kelly would probably be up on that tier.
Problematic, Bob. Problematic. We're
going to call it. No, I'm saying when we were – it was not problematic when we were in
– No, because, Bobby, college. He was still doing that stuff back then. We just didn't know about it.
Yo, here's the thing. We all knew. That's been going on for forever. I have gone – to Yakitori Boy in Philly. It's like a sushi karaoke like restaurant. And I have sang Remix to Ignition and said, like, we all know what he's doing. We all know what he's doing. And like a bachelorette party of black women were like laughing about it. And they were like, it's so bad, isn't it? Like everybody knows. Everybody knew what he was doing, except like the cops.
Yeah. I mean, the Aaliyah shit was weird. I remember being, I was a kid when I heard about the Aaliyah shit and I was like, is this real? Like, is this real life? And it didn't make sense to my like kid brain. I don't know how adults let it go on, but that's
It was like Louis C.K. Like everyone knew Louis C.K. was jerking off in front of like.
Apparently. Jesus Christ.
Rage.
I fucking read this. Has to, out of every song, give me anything from 2001 with Dr. Dre. Give me some Eminem.
The fact is, we all played it.
I mean,
Bobby, we wouldn't bring that up on this show as the of song.
Too fucking shown.
Jesus. Read the room, Robert. Read the room.
I mean, the question honestly. We all played it. We all know it's one of the right answers. Everyone listening knew it was one of the right answers.
We're gonna palate cleanser. Yeah, Usher, obviously.
Usher,
its own thing. In the club, that was like the biggest song I think maybe of the
2000s. I mean, 50's whole first album there.
Yeah, get Rich or Die Trying.
Call me maybe.
To this day, continues the song of the summer every single summer. Nelly, I like that they went with the Nelly EI. I did not see that one coming. It was a little different than the last few weeks with like Bush and Korn and stuff like that, but a welcome. Would you say favorite Nelly song? Let's go around the room here. Favorite Nelly song.
The uncensored video.
On BET late night. I can't remember what was the name of that.
And it's on like Vimeo now. Like YouTube won't have it, but it's on like Vimeo.
Everyone, NSFW. Maybe we should wake up with Tip Drill tomorrow on the blog, Eddie, and then we just have like the NSFW link for people that want to see that. Because wow, those are some times.
I like that.
Tip Drill, I can get down. Eddie, who do you have? Who do you have as your favorite Nelly song?
So Nelly is like my guy. I saw him in concert like 2 years ago.
And, oh, really? Where?
Wait, 2 years ago. Yeah.
It's Miracle all over again.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
He just heard EI for the first time. But
I saw Nelly at a Chuck E. Cheese 2 years ago.
Where did you see him?
I saw him in Peoria, Illinois. Drove 2.5 hours with a couple friends. Stayed in the hotel room to go see Nelly.
What kind of where did he perform at? Was it just like a gym?
an outdoor like venue. It was like,
okay, outdoor.
Yeah, outdoor venue. He was like an hour and a half late. But I love Nelly. Honestly, Ride With Me is like a top five song for me of all time.
You did this whole thing with Dave, I remember. I remember listening on the radio. Like, you know everything about Nelly.
Oh, yeah. Nelly's my guy, dude.
But as of 2 years ago? Or, like, before that, you just never got the chance?
I'm just showing you, like, what he means to me that I've gone to a concert recently. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I love Nelly. I had, like, a Dilemma CD. You know? Like, I'm still there. You know?
That's up there. Man. That's up there with Clem seeing DMX at like a Benihana's.
At a mall that played, didn't he play like two songs?
It was Benihana's is like three levels above what this place was. It's like just a random ass fucking sushi and steakhouse, it's at a shit mall that half the stores are out of business. And yeah, he did one and a half songs technically. He didn't even do, and he did a prayer though. He did open with a prayer, which is, and he did it 3 hours after we arrived for him.
Rough Riders Anthem would be another song, like a great song for when you're leaving.
Yes, mm-hmm. Rough Riders Anthem, DMX.
World War III also.
Yep. Holiday really Inn, Chingy.
Yeah. I saw Joel Santana do 2.5 songs at Kavanaugh's River Deck like 3 hours after he was supposed to with like 13 other people there. It was like me, my now wife, my buddy, and like 10 chicks who thought they were all going to bang him. He came in, did like 2.5 songs, 3 hours late, walked right back out, got right in like a sprinter van, and hopped right on 95 and was back to New York.
That's awesome. Joel
Santana. That's awesome.
Oh, man. That, do. What was that? Whistle Blow? Was that the name of the song?
I can't remember. Blow. Yeah.
Blow. Okay. Eddie, that's a great story though. That is a tremendous story. I mean, we're not going to go down this far. We're not going to re-exist, but I feel like Nelly had some problematic shit. I don't know if he was found guilty of it, and I don't know how this all went, but shout out to Nelly still putting on the tours to pay the bills. My wife saw him in Albany when we were in college, and she's like, him and the St. Lunatics came out of a giant Air Force One. And in my head, I've never been more jealous. Like, I just would love to see that group of people, the St. Lunatics coming out of the, would you say you're a bigger Nelly fan than Trent? Cause Trent is a can we have a Nelly off maybe?
Well, Trent has like the Nelly, like he's got the Nelly moment, you know?
Yeah.
Cause he went to jail after posting a Nelly tweet, you know? Yeah. So, like, he's got the – I will never have a better Nelly moment than Trent.
Trent's got the teardrop.
Yes.
Yes.
But I'm confident – if Trent is a teardrop, I'm confident saying, like, I have every pair of Air Force Ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You would have to go to jail with Nelly. Like, that's the only way you can top Trent.
Correct.
Two-and-a-half-hour ride to Peoria, Illinois with your buddies in a hotel room. I mean, that's the dedication. That's a diehard fan right there.
So I thought Porsche, I'm just looking at his songs. I thought that came out like 2 years ago, which is why he was on tour. That came out in 2013.
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
Oh.
So Eddie, you're saying
from seeing
I'm not play? Like it's probably like I watched his verse. Like he's got jams.
And would it you... was filled. It was a Nelly and Juvenile and back that ass up. That's a great fucking opener. Yep. Juvenile just no showed.
Completely. A no-show
from Juvenile.
I feel like you can't be no-showing as Juvenile. Like I have to imagine he's got to pay the bills. He shouldn't be no-showing.
Yeah.
But
so Ride With Me, Ed, is your choice?
Ride With Me, yes. It's overall, not even just Nelly. It's one of my favorite songs, period.
Yeah, I mean, that's one, too. You can sing the whole thing. But I just distinctly remember being 16, and I was going to a Yankee game, and my uncle had just gotten a brand new Cadillac, and I had my learner's permit, certainly not my license. And I was like, oh, hey, all right, I'll drive. And he's like, okay, cool. And just throws me the keys. I was totally joking, didn't think he'd give me the keys. So we have to go to a hotel first to pick up his buddy. And then he's like, hey, do you know how to get to Yankee Stadium from here? We were somewhere on like Route 109 and right before you got to go up the turnpike to go over the bridge. And I was like, no, I don't even have my license. He goes, what? He thought I had my license. So that was, but he had that CD in his car for some reason playing on repeat the whole time I was driving. So I just think Ride With Me, I think of driving a Cadillac at 16.
It's a hell of a fucking memory right there. I like that. Reeves, what do you have?
Well, I it's probably Ride With Me, but Eddie mentioned Dilemma. Where do you stand on that song?
I mean, I'm just looking right now real quick.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's my second, like I was debating those two.
Dude, it's his most streamed song on Spotify by 100,000 plays. Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking good.
Only 100,000?
100 million. 100 million. Excuse me. Oh, okay. Excuse my, okay. Excuse my my poor math there. 100 million. Forgot a few commas there. But
I think that's a clear top two for me.
That's a great song.
I didn't even have Dilemma on my radar, but it's ever. I mean, not only do I mean, like, I stop what I'm doing. I'm singing both. I'm singing Kelly. I'm singing Nelly.
Kelly Rowland, man, she was big time for us.
I'm a big Kelly Rowland fan.
I'm trying to text via Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Microsoft Excel thing. That's an all time underrated video moment.
Yeah.
This is my sleeper Nelly song. I'd say Ride With Me's one, EI is two. Dilemma's probably four. My number three, though, the Nelly Girlfriend remix. That hit perfect time of my life. That's we're alone on good. The dance floor. And it was when I first started to embrace boy bands for the first time in my life. We get over like the whole like, oh, like I'm too, you know, tough. I'm a tough guy. Not that I've ever been anywhere close to a tough guy. You just think you're a tough guy. Mm-hmm. I embraced that with open arms, and Nelly's out there. So fuck, man, I'm going to go through a Nelly fucking binge. And this is the other thing I got to say about Nelly. Nelly, there's only a few guys who are like this. Nelly and Ludacris are the two that come to mind. Their songs got somehow better with the radio edits. They had the perfect fucking like sound effects that always went in the I'm going down, bam, babe, like they always had it perfect, the radio edits for those.
And DMX barking.
Yeah.
And DMX barking, yes.
Undefeated. Eddie, I have a question for Eddie as the resident Nelly expert.
Yes.
How do you feel about his duet with Tim McGraw over and over?
Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
He did a remix to Die a Happy Man by Thomas Rhett.
Yeah.
It's not bad either. Check it out.
Not bad.
Official Eddie review.
JJ, did you on the way back from the separate car, Atlantic City formal, how many times did you bump Dilemma in the Impala?
I'll edit that out, JJ. I'll edit that
out. No.
I'm not fucking with you. I'm not editing out shit.
No, I was in a party bus. Yeah, no. Sometimes you get emotional with some.
What do you think of My Place? Speaking of like the slower, like emotional, it's great, right?
Good, dude. He's got a lot of good songs. It was a great concert.
My Place is like fifth row on it. Like when you Google,
I haven't heard the name Jaheim, and I don't know.
Yeah.
The St. Lunatics were, I mean, in terms of like second, like the groups that got brought in, it's like, what do you say? They are second tier, third tier, first tier. I don't know who were like the best of like the groups. Like the
it's like G Unit
12.
Like D12.
Murphy Lee had a couple hits on him on his own. So
yeah.
Don't sleep on Murphy Lee.
What was
did you say Rough Riders?
Oh,
Rough Riders is Rough Riders Volume 1 may be the best CD out of all those like kind of second
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang was its own fucking thing in itself. It was this whole plan.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm really going outside the realm of this show right now. But do you remember in the documentary on HBO, The Defiant Ones, when they're talking about, I think it was the Source Awards, and then he's talking about like Wu-Tang, they came ready strapped. Do you know what I'm talking about, Clem?
And there's a dude who looks like a ninja. I put that in the blog every 6 months or so.
It was like Wu-Tang was ready and they cut the dude in a ninja mask.
It's crazy, man. I am going to put a timestamp in here because I'm sure there's going to be people who are like, you know what? I don't want to alienate our audience, but if you have a problem with Nelly talk, this may not be the podcast.
I told you we're doing 30 minutes of Nelly.
They're doing 30 minutes of Nelly because fucking D's an asshole.
I wonder if there was another. Normally, we've been getting two songs per show.
Yeah.
If it cost us a show, we lost a song.
Wow, true.
And we lost the Josh cry.
I bet you the song was during the Josh cry.
It might have been Chumbawamba Tump Thumping because I had that in my head and they're screaming at each other and they're.
Could have been Waterfalls.
Waterfalls, that's a good one too. That video was fucking enormous. Holy shit, I forgot about Waterfalls.
We still need a playlist. If anybody listening remembers the 90s, 2000 songs that have been on this season, I will put a Spotify playlist together. Is there already one?
Yeah, and it gets updated. I think MTV literally has the Spotify playlist.
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd mention it. I've retweeted in the past. It's definitely out there. So if you Google, you know, MTV The Challenge, what's this one called again?
Total Madness.
Total Madness.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. I just pulled it up on Spotify. There it is. Okay.
Yeah. So they're partying. Again, this one, does anything even happen when they're partying here? I feel like it kind of goes in and out because it's probably the fight was all their footage, right?
I wonder if for the future episodes, like, they're just re-editing. Like, they didn't have enough time to edit around this.
Yeah. When did the D stuff drop? When did that all happen?
Yesterday or the day before.
I would say Sunday, I think.
Maybe we started Sunday into Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that, I mean, there's two ways you can go about it. You just go, just let it fly. It would have probably looked pretty fucking bad if she's going at Bailey the way it sounds like they did. And obviously Swaggy had his tweets that kind of put her out there too. I don't know what the fuck happened during it. It also, the opposite happened. Everyone shitting on D the entire time. It's like, did they bring Bananas just to be like, hey, Bananas, like, talk shit about D for 10 minutes and we're going to make it look like it happened during the season? Because I don't hate that fucking strategy at all. Because, I mean, no one's really liked D this entire season. So it kind of fit perfectly.
She was trying too hard. She's been like, she's pretending to be like this character that'll get invited back season in and season out instead of just being herself. And
not authentic.
Happen. Yeah.
I'm very curious, like, it said in the tweet, like, she was trying to create storylines for season 36, instead of just let the game play out, there's going to be storylines.
It's interesting how now, I mean, we keep talking about social media, it used to be, you know, reality TV was just that. It was reality, and they would watch and they'd film hours and hours and figure out a way to cut it up. Now it's all, like, assisted through the producers. Like,
that's hey, where I hate not having – this is where I hate not having real world, because you had like the built in, if there was multiple people from the same season, it was already built in, and now you're bringing people from like Big Brother, all these other shows, England and everything like that. You like, they are trying to drum up storylines instead of like giving it a season to like simmer because they want to be invited back.
Yep.
So Clem, you thought that was
so listen, I'll give you an arm wrestling comparison for the week. See, what Dee probably did is also she reaches out to all these people and she talks about like how, oh, we're setting up for 36. It's very similar to what Lex Luger did right before WrestleMania 10. He was supposed to come out of WrestleMania 10 winning the belt, but instead he lost to Yokozuna, and Bret Hart beat Yokozuna after losing to Owen Hart in the opening match of the night. Great WrestleMania. The ladder match for the Intercontinental title. I mean, great. But it's just like that.
Was that Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, ladder match.
Wow. Oh,
I got drunk and watched 98 Bash at the Beach on WCW.
Why? It's such a white trash move to go WCW.
Because I run through all the WrestleManias in the last 2 months.
I'm like, ah.
Oh. Eddie, what was your question?
You thought that that was the right move? What did you think, Cons?
In terms of editing everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that they definitely had to. It was the right move because I don't think anyone wants to look tone deaf right now and ignoring it. So I think it was what they had to do, and it was the smart move.
I was going to say I agree. It's just weird when she's still – like, she's on the rest of the season. So it's like –
Yeah, no, so Eddie, you were right.
Week like this.
Yeah, editing 1 week, is that really going to suffice? Or should they just say, like, hey, listen, this is what happened, and sorry, but we got to cancel the rest of the show?
Because they didn't get backlash from their statement, right? No, like, when they put out that tweet, I didn't see too much.
So you also have to think they can't film. Like, they would normally be filming now. So now they're going to take shows off the air. Who knows when they're going to be able to, with a second wave or whatever, have another run of shows.
Yeah.
You got to make a business decision.
I was just more so confused. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it says, out of respect for the competition and other challengers, MTV will air the season as planned.
Because I think if it doesn't air, they don't get paid, too.
Yeah,
they already lost that Fast and the Furious money because of coronavirus. So I am so locked in on this, JJ. There's no doubt in my mind.
Do you think there's a lot of tanks in Fast and the Furious, in the new one?
Yeah. I bet you there is.
Has he been spoiled media by?
It's a fair point, Eddie. I think it's a fair point. Yeah. But I also think, like, the reason this episode was so choppy is I think I said to my wife, like, when they got to, like, the Tribunal or whatever. I was like, has Dee even been on this episode? Because, like, they basically took – I don't remember her being in the challenge part of it, you know? So I think they're just – she. It's the fucking – it's the freeze-out game. It's Dee, Michael Jordan, you know, Isaiah Thomas is organizing the freeze-out kind of a thing here. So we'll be seeing as little of Dee as possible, which I don't think any of us have a problem with. I don't think we ever had a problem with it even before, you know, all this shit came out.
Do you think that – if, like, say this week was last week, this week was a completely different episode, do you think it would have been as choppy, or do you think it was just the fact that it happened to be the D-centric episode?
I think it was a bad coincidence, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever the shitty version of serendipity is, we're just going to put that on the record. So we go to the tribunal, and again, they kind of just like, they just threw the names up, and you just see D. They only really focus at D's going in there. Bananas with the finger cross. That was the move of the night, where he throws in the finger cross.
I love that.
He's a fucking, say what you want about the man. He has his groove back. Do you realize, you notice he got that skull from Wes, and like the life has come back into his
eyes.
He's
been riding high for sure.
It was Hootie and the Blowfish. Credit to Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yes, all credit to Hootie and the Blowfish, which is another, you know, we said a lot of hip-hop songs. You get a good Hootie and the Blowfish song as you're leaving to go to the bars, everyone's riding high. Hold my hand, no matter what it is, everyone's seeing Kumbaya basically going out to the bars. So
I hear Hootie at like 1:30 a.m. after I'm 23 beers deep, and I just want to belt that sucker out. And
I want to puke just hearing you say that.
Oh, I mean, I'm
23 beers deep.
All right.
The only other thing I have here is we missed Josh's crying whenever the fuck that was. I said the cutting room floor must have just been just fucking nothing but like video, right? It's just nothing but fucking film on the ground. Because that's all there was kind of they kind of allude that they might go to D. They also kind of said, like, let's keep this from Melissa, which I thought was an interesting move, but I kind of like that's bananas. He has his groove back. He's playing the political game now, and he doesn't want to stir any fucking pots that don't need to be stirred kind of thing. We go to the elimination.
I think about that baby a lot.
Yes!
Did you see Banana's tweet? He said, how come Melissa didn't get disqualified for using forearms?
Yeah, that was a great tweet. I saw that. We go to the elimination, and Melissa, I'm just like, and I said this, I tweeted out, I said, if Melissa went in there and had to dig herself out with a baby in her stomach, I would have called the police on MTV on the spot. Even though it happened like 6 months ago, that's fucking just wrong in the middle of the Czech Republic. She says, I don't want to put myself in. I love Melissa. I fucking love the girl. She calls him bananas. She says, I don't want to put myself in. I love everything about her. I love that she's fucking playing with two fucking people right now. I love the fucking girl. I hope she wins. Backdoor bananas. That was kind of, he got his groove back. Eddie's called him backdoor bananas. It's nice to see that guy back in our life. And again, the sweetest part of all this, before we get into what happened, D gets thrown in by Rogan again, which, okay, I didn't see last season, Eddie. How did this all go down with D and Rogan? They were hooking up, and then he basically just threw her in. And
yeah, he was like, I don't think you're going to be able to run a final. You passed out during working out at the house, so I don't think you could do it. Then he threw her in, and then she did very well. She won. Like, she's, I don't know, she answers the bell when it's time, I guess.
That is true.
She's just annoying to be around. Like,
yes,
that's just not a girl you just want to be hooking up with if you have to be sober around her like the rest of the time.
His Rogan's yeah when Bananas asked him for the blessing to throw him in was one of the greatest. Like, it reminded me of Eddie's like rating system. It was just a quick yep, and then he just smiled. That, like, as an ex, that has to be a top one feeling of all time.
It also sucked too to like have to enjoy something Josh did, because Josh throws her in as well, right? And it's like, all right, Josh, like, we like you for this 1 second. And she's pissed again. I think like they probably had like a ton of interviews with her about getting thrown in by Rogan again. They probably had a whole like snippet where it was going to explain to people like me who don't know what the fuck, like, their history and all that kind of stuff. It's hilarious, and I feel like if D, obviously she's never going to get invited back to a challenge again, I feel like next season the same shit would have happened again. I feel like Rogan would have thrown her back in after acting like so it's just it's great. There's tunnel digging. I actually, so I did like the elimination. I like the idea of the elimination.
Oh.
It obviously sucks. I would not want to do it, which is why I think I like it. When it's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, I like seeing a bunch of idiots do it. Not pregnant idiots, but idiots do it. And
here's how I think you make the Andy Dufresne challenge a little bit better is you black out the tunnel there.
Yeah.
So they can't see shit and they just got to feel their way through it.
Yes.
And then I think that adds a level of fear to
it. I would say they probably can't because of like a panic attack.
Well, listen, if you're subject to panic attacks, I don't want you on the challenge.
I'm saying I guarantee that's why the producers don't do that because you have a heart attack the moment that happens.
I'm trying to think of a way where you could turn it into like a hall brawl, but like if you pass each other, but then you're kind of like helping your opponent out because then behind you, you've dug out for them. Yeah. But I'd love to see like that instant clash. But that would probably get really tight. So
this is going to be super niche. There's a chance that maybe one of you guys have gone to it. Probably not Eddie because it's in Jersey City. But did you guys ever hear of the Liberty Science Center?
Yeah.
Liberty Science Center. It's
you ever went there awesome. You went there on a field trip. They had the touch tunnel. And that's what that was. It was completely blacked out. And it was all different surfaces. And you had to just feel your way through. But I remember they had like cameras on it. And there would always be kids screaming and crying because they were so scared. So, yeah. Essentially, I want to make the grunt version of the touch tunnel.
Yes, the Liberty Science Center is one of those places where you're like, oh, shit, like, school can be fun. And I remember, I think we were in, like, fifth grade, too, where you've been in school for a while, and it's the first time education actually seems fun. It's a great place, I imagine, with kids. Any kind of science museums can be fun. So if anyone
The worst was when they were like, we've got a field trip, and they're like, and it's a play, and you're like, God damn it. Down to music, God damn it.
Was a big 13. Thing, was a big thing with you guys whenever you had a field trip was, the movie. Like get different buses had different movies. So you had to get like a good movie out of it. Like Home Alone would be a big hit or something like that.
We went to Albany in like fifth grade or no, in fourth grade. And that had like a big bus like that. And that was it. Like, did you regularly have like coach buses for
field? We didn't have a coach bus till eighth grade. That was the only field trip where we got a coach bus. And we went into the city from Jersey. And did a bunch
you
of
went to the
stuff.
City for your field trip?
Well, we went to a – well, let's – we went to not Rockefeller, but like NBC Studios and got a tour.
30 Rock.
We went to a show. What else did we do? Oh, then when we left the city, dinner was at Medieval Times.
Oh, that's a good one.
That sounds like a birthday.
My 30th birthday was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie, have you ever been to Medieval Times?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you're a big Medieval Times guy.
Didn't you know a knight?
My cousin dated a knight. And so I just see him like at family parties. I'm like, what's going on? Red or green this week, you know? Like, and just kind of talk to him. And just it was pretty entertaining.
That's great. Oh, I haven't been as an adult, which I think would be a good time because they do serve, you know, alcohol. So I've heard it's fine.
We got a party bus.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, where are they even open at anymore?
There's one in North Jersey.
North Jersey?
Yeah,
there's one in Chicago.
Yeah, there's one in Tennessee. It's like 10 minutes from Hoboken.
Okay.
Lyndhurst is the name of the town.
Lyndhurst, okay.
Yeah. We would get probably a coach like the Peter Pan buses or whatever. I feel like once every like – probably like fifth grade, eighth grade, and maybe like one or two other trips here and there. It's whenever the trip was long enough, you wouldn't take the yellow school bus. But I remember the movies were a big deal. And then like everyone would just bring candy on the bus. And then you'd like whoever had the best candy, you trade candy, all that kind of shit. So I didn't know if that was like the case across the board. Man, Liberty Science Center cons. The minute I can get out of this goddamn house with these kids, they're going to the Liberty Science Center for like, I'm just going to keep them in the sensory tunnel for 5 hours. Just
to burn some energy. Dude, you went to Sesame Place last year, right?
Yeah, I did.
That place was great.
And then there's a ground round.
Yes.
I remember you tweeting that because I just drove through Yonkers last week and the ground round's not there anymore. That used to be.
I could be making this up. I feel like someone told me that ground round by Sesame Place might have went out since I've been there, which is a fucking killer.
That's one of those things that I'm always like, man, we should go to ground round at some place.
I'll tell you,
Clem's family trips have been something.
We did. I don't know if Sesame. No, it wasn't Sesame Place. We went to Dutch Wonderland, which is in Pennsylvania as well. Yeah, Bobby grew up around there, or at least in PA, obviously, and that's near Amish country, which is, I mean, some good food, some good eating out there in Amish country, obviously, in a whole different world. So maybe we'll fucking get there once this shit is all over too. D gets thrown in. Oh, the tunnel digging. Ryan Fulford said, D digging her own grave is a perfect way to end her challenge career. I think we all thought she was cooked. Did you guys think it was like the perfect way for this all to end? I thought like, I mean, at first I thought she kind of like, I was like, shit, D's like smaller. She might have like, I feel like Maddie, like she had like an advantage on Maddie, but then it's like, I thought she fucking died too. So I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
The only reason I didn't think she was cooked was the like their statement of we're going to show the season as is. Yeah.
That's a fair.
But I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I forgot. I think it was maybe it was Bananas, somebody else, but they were just Maddie was just too tall for that. Her body type was just not conducive to doing well in that challenge, unfortunately.
Yeah. Eddie, what did you like? What were you thinking going into that? Are you just in a fucking?
Listen, honestly, so much credit to you guys for being professionals and trying to break this down. But like, there was just nothing there. I'm sorry. It was just everything was edited out, and I understand. I know why they did it. I get it. But like, there was just nothing there. I don't know what to say.
I feel like they would have – again, I think it was a lot of D stuff that they just had. They had to chop out of the episode, so that's what we're left with. I hate to say it. But I'm very happy this has happened, fellas. We see Stone Cold Dead 10. This is him. Stone Cold Dead 10 has arrived. He's fucking here and he's pissed. JJ, what did you think of this whole elimination? I kind of liked it. I thought it was a good elimination. Again,
but I didn't think Maddie stood a chance because she's just too big. Like her frame just doesn't fit. Like Dee's kind of squirrely. She's a competitor, possibly a racist.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this was my other note. The other 30 minutes, just give us fucking the best of the Undertaker buried alive. Just give. I mean, there's been like 100 of them, right? I feel like we could get some just good shit out of that.
Kane and Undertaker burying each other.
Yeah, and then coming back to life.
They still got some Sunday Night Heat, right? Heat rights. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's just like D. It's gonna be weird to watch the rest of this because you know, like she's not coming back. There's like this. We're going to wonder what was edited out or what was changed. And it's just like, she just got lost in the sauce. She got like too big for her britches. You know, as she started, like she's been on now like 3 seasons. Like I don't think that she's a racist. I think she said a stupid thing. I think she tried to make like a dumb joke and then tried to like keep running with it and oversold and just like, yeah, like she got famous and it got away from her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now she's definitely going to have to dump him out on OnlyFans.
Oh, that's right. The OnlyFans. She did say that she was doing an OnlyFans. So,
yes.
See where that goes.
I mean, I think it should be noted like that these people that go on reality television, very few of them actually become and then stay relevant. That it's not like an automatic ticket to becoming relevant and quote unquote famous. Like, obviously, Bananas has parlayed it into a career. You've seen some of the other people from other channels that have now flamed out and or said something horrific and have gotten fired. So I think that there's just this misconception. It's like, oh, cool, I'll get on one show and then I'll just ride that for the next 30 years.
I wonder if I'm being honest, I wonder like who that's going to happen to at like Barstool, because you guys are a big reality TV show.
Well, you know, and here's the thing too. It's like, and like you said, like I get it. Like what she said was fucked up, banner for life. But I went to the challenge Reddit to see what they were saying about it, and they're pretty straight and narrow. Like like, you know what I mean? Like they think like we're too risque sometimes. Right. Like even they were pissed off like with what they showed. So
really,
yes, like they were like, "What the fuck was that?" Which was like, "Oh, that's interesting." Because if anything, like they'd be definitely more like, "Hey, like they did the right thing." You know what I mean?
I just don't think there was a good way to do it. Like, if they show the episode as is, then they get called tone deaf.
You're right.
They do this, and everyone's and like, if they do, it's us shipping, like, what the, right. So,
and then I just, but then I just saw they're now finding old tweets from Rogan. So it's like, what, this is a slippery slope, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. MTV reacted in the way they did. I think it was a tough situation for them to be in. They act the way they did, but like you said, it is a slippery slope. And if you start going down the chain and going through everyone's shit, it's going to be pretty interesting. I don't know the fuck it's going to go. I also thought, like, the way they ended it, and then they just throw on a fucking another episode of ridiculousness. Guys, wake Kurt Loder the fuck up and do like a, you know, a PSA or something with a Black Lives Matter kind of thing. That would have been acceptable. And you even like parlay it into there, have someone make a statement after the show's over. Cause it's like, we all kind of know what's going on. I mean, I'd say, what would you say? 80% of the people going into that new D have been fired just cause everyone's on social media. You're finding about it some way or another, right?
I thought we were going to get the PSA, like how they do with, like the past seasons with like domestic violence or sexual assault, like they would always have like a person like reading or like making an actual statement. That's what I thought we were going to get tonight at either the beginning or the end. Mm-hmm. Like I thought they were going to do something else essentially.
It always is crazy when the fucking, like, it gets real, like, for lack of a better term. You know, that's, like, the real world. But, I mean, these are the times we're living in. The next on, Corey gets hurt. That was basically all I got from it, which I don't know. Like, so Corey, obviously, his show got taken away and his baby mama got fired. Someone sort of like said they felt like some of his stuff was edited out tonight too, but I don't know if they would have done that. I just feel like it was a much more girl centric episode and they kind of just did whatever. I don't know. This was a weird fucking, this was a weird episode, fellas. Thank God Nelly had his fucking song so we could burn a couple of fucking minutes about that.
We do get Josh and Melissa fighting next week too.
Do we? I missed that. Yeah. Okay.
It was like, I think what they started the next week on, it's like Melissa yelling at Josh and Josh just, like, open mouth breathing and screaming.
Open mouth breathing and screaming. This also did teach me today that, like, different cable channels clearly have different commercials because they said, like, they had the commercials where it looked like there was a fight going on with, I think, Bailey and Dee. And I didn't see that. Obviously, my guide was different, too. So I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I got to see Stone Cold Dead come out. So I guess not all is lost. MVP, LVP. Eddie, give me your MVP here. Who's your MVP? Who are you going to find in this fucking slop of shit?
I mean, I've been long a Melissa guy. So I think she had her moments in that episode. So I'll say Melissa.
I co-sign that. I'm a big Melissa fan too. JJ?
The producers or whoever schedules it for 8 o'clock now, because I'm back at work. So I have to wake up in the morning.
Oh, fuck.
Paternity leave's over. So it was like, I'm like, oh, thank God this isn't at 9 o'clock like it used to be.
I said to my wife tonight before it started taping, it was like 7:30 and I went, I go, oh fuck, tonight's the challenge. I was like, I don't think I have anything in me. And I didn't realize it was going to end at 9 instead of 9:30. So yeah, shout outs to getting that an hour earlier. If you guys want to keep it 8 to 9, I'm telling you, I don't mind this schedule one bit. So I think as long as, you can't gut. Apparently, you can't gut that middle piece because it kind of destroys the entire episode. Cons, MVP.
This is tough. I mean, no one really, really stood out. I guess. Oh, you know, actually, you know what? TJ is my MVP for just calling everybody out, calling them right to the carpet and saying,
yes,
you know what? You don't cheat. You want to come to my final, then you better not cheat. Love it, TJ.
Bobby.
Nelly.
Yeah.
Nelly's the MVP.
That's the right answer. You called dibs on it too. Yeah. You called dibs on Nelly, so I'm going to have to give it to you. Shit, man. My MVP, I'm going to – fuck, Eddie's going to be so mad at me. I got to give it to the editor, man, because the editor – think about it. How do you make that episode any better than it was? I don't know if you can.
You got like a TV background too, so I know how to empathize with the editor who had to do all that shit, so – I'm fine with your MVP.
Okay. I don't want the Stone Cold head coming from my ass next. So, next up, LVP. Reeves, who do you have LVP?
I mean, it's D.
Like, yeah, I think everyone could just say it's D.
All right, we can all just say D, right? LVP is D. Second place in the LVP is Maddie. If Maddie eliminates D, then D's out of the show, and then we don't have to see her ever again. There's no chance she wins $1 million, and everyone will be happy with that too. But yeah, D is the clear LVP.
Second place is Josh calling Nani Nonners and Nonimal. I wanted to punch him square in the face when he said that.
I didn't hear that
when she walked into the tribunal.
Also, an LVP, but somewhat of an MVP move was just Nani just watching everybody else work out while she just sipped her coffee and like, oh, look at all these athletes. So good for them.
LVP is also being done with paternity leave and having a paternity leave during a quarantine. That is a fucking, that's a giant.
What a waste. What a waste.
Just back in it. Like, it's crazy.
Dude, you're going to have another kid just so you can really embrace paternity leave.
There were a couple times in the closing weeks where I was just like, babe, you want to take a hot one right now? Just because, like, I gotta know that 9 months later, like, I'm about to take off, like, more time. I didn't get mine here. But it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if it was like the best time, because from like a functionality standpoint, it was good that only one person had to work, because now we're juggling back and forth with the baby. So I don't know. But yeah, I don't know if any of you guys have ever taken, or if you've been like in between jobs for a long amount of time, but like, this is a job, you know, I know how to do, I should know everyone. But 3.5 months, you come back and you're just like, how do I even do my job? I have to get through 1,000 emails. Bias training and like racism and prejudice and all that stuff. Like, annual compliance stuff came up. So it's
there should be a rule when you come back from an extended period of leave that your inbox just gets wiped. Because obviously, like, I mean, there's nothing I could have done about that email that happened 3 weeks ago. So what the hell? Like, I don't need to see it even. So just
did you not do a single thing?
No. You're not like you're legally like not allowed to, because I get paid out. They have insurance through like whatever, an insurance company. So when I went out, like, I had to tell the insurance company I'm out. So it would be like working while collecting disability.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, what? Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, you go.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's like, oh, this thing that I know how to do, I'm very good at. Now I just have to remember like who I'm even talking to. And I was lucky, there was a big call where someone who was presenting, their kid was just basically screaming into their computer at the time. And I was just like, oh, this is so good this happened, to like pop that cherry for me, because everyone else is used to it. But for me, if like the dog's like collar rattles, I'm like, oh shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, you're hopping back into it in quarantine Zoom conference, fucking upside down world we're living in now too.
Everybody's got fancy backgrounds, like ready to go. Like, everybody I'm talking to, it's like they're at a green screen. And I'm just like, have you guys never seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall? That's all they're doing. And someone's like, oh, are you gonna do one? I was like, probably not. Like, what?
Get an old WrestleMania one, dude. Get like WrestleMania 8 as your background. Fucking throw Ric Flair in the back.
Yeah, I might just throw like different things in there for like team calls. But I'm just trying to have less team calls. I'm just not used to talking to people, essentially.
The hardest part about, you know, whether it's like, I mean, 3.5 months is like a crazy time. But even if it's like a week for vacation, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, you almost need to get like, you need to be like a fish when you put it in the bag in the water to warm up. You need like 4 hour day. Cause the hardest part is just when the days go by and the normal amount of time, and it just feels like that's a day, that 8 hour day or whatever feels like an 18 hour day, your first week back at the very least. So
yeah, no, I mean, they have a whole thing where it's like, I don't really have to do like too much this week. Like, I'm just playing catch up, you know, I'm not in front of people. I'm not presenting, which is, you know, what I do for a living. So I'll start doing that again, like next week or the week after. But it's wild. Cause you know, when you start a new job, like if you don't work for 3 months, normally it's cause you're in between jobs, and then it's like everything, you know, from the ground floor up. But like, I'm already like fully in, like ramped up, have all my certifications, just trying to get a bonus, you know? So, and it's like, there's no adjustment on that. Like, got to get running.
Yep. I hear that. So I guess that's the episode.
Clem, you're getting snipped.
I'm getting snipped. I was supposed to be snipped today. I was going to be coming in. I'd be fucking playing the Willis Reed fucking Jordan flu game, and got pushed back during quarantine. So I went from a March or no early April.
No elective surgeries.
Yeah. They
had a boob job.
I could have had my vasectomy the day before the tournament, which is like the fucking, like, perfect. The stereotypical prototypical day. However, I had tickets to the first day of the tournament for the first time, and I was so excited. Obviously Corona took care of all that shit. Then the next week was opening day. couldn't go that week because the Mets, obviously, and we had We Gotta Believe stuff. So then I had the week after that, which was early April, and that was right when they shut down elective surgeries. So I went through an entire quarantine, which isn't that hard for us married guys to not have to worry, you know. But, you know, there might be a time or two where you share, you know, some time with the woman that might lead to a kid, might have had a scare along the way. So I really need to get this fucking vasectomy. I need this shit out of me ASAP. Because I'll tell you, fellas.
A scare in quarantine when you're supposed to be snipped is literal nightmare fuel.
Okay, and then where your youngest kid, basically, like, AJ is just always like, Daddy, no. And he just doesn't want me to sit near him. He doesn't want me to look at him. It's straight – I have Oedipus. I should just rename the kid Oedipus because he fucking wants to kill me so fucking badly right now. So I need to get – I'm going to hopefully have a vasectomy on Friday. That's next Friday, the 19th. That's the plan. So fuck, man.
Right before Father's Day, which makes it even funnier.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Perfect.
You should take one last shot, see if it hits. Roll the dice, one last one.
Russian roulette, sex style, kid style.
Yeah, you
must see how strong those swimmers truly are.
Hey, shout out to us too, Clem. Almost won the dozen.
Yeah, we almost won the dozen. The Jeff D. Lowe's trivia show. Me, Eddie, and Rico Bosco versus PFT and Brandon Walker. It was a fucking battle to the end. But you know what the most important thing that was? We had fun. So if anyone wants to check that out, if you go to the Barstool Sports YouTube page, I had a ball. I had an absolute blast with you fellas. So I'd love to do it again soon. We actually fucked up too. We couldn't get the college basketball logo. We have the college basketball guy on this podcast. And
What was the question?
It's a weird logo. It's a logo question. You have to know the team name. So I'll send it to you.
Okay.
If you would have known it. Okay. Brandon Walker knew the other one without even pausing. And I was like, what? It was a team I'd never heard of in my life. It was like Northeast Montana State, you know.
Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah, something like that, man. It was crazy shit. So, yeah. And if I have another – so I might do that. I might put one last shot out there. If it hits, though – I've already said on the record, it's a one-to-one life-to-life. If I give a new life, I'm taking my own life. So there's going to be a net neutral fucking existence there. So
at least let Connor push you in the river. It'll save someone else.
For Connor.
You know, you scratch his itch, you're done. You know, it's a good situation for you. Eddie, okay. What's the snake draft this week?
We're still decided. Breakfast went pretty well, but we're still open. We don't know yet.
I don't have an idea. I was just curious.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Eddie, I wanted to grade. I wanted to do like a grade the draft, kind of like a you know, post-draft grade thing. I thought that would be a fun thing. But Glennie was so far above the rest. I'd be like, it's like A++. And then it's just the rest of the guys playing for second. It was one of the more dominating performances I've ever seen in my life there. It was pretty
impressive. He did very well. Chief just throws off the whole draft, you know?
Yeah.
And the White Sox Dave's hasn't been great either.
We all have the people in the fantasy draft that makes everyone's like, how did you get this guy on your team? It's like, well, we have like two out of like 10 or 12 teams that just don't have any good players on their team.
I feel like Dave asks the weirdest questions and gets way too specific with it. And then just all of a sudden he's got weird picks.
Yeah, exactly right.
I said, I was going to say places to drink.
Like just like patios and.
Ball game, outdoor patio, pool,
parents' basement.
That's a pretty good one.
I was going to say build a TV block, you know, like how we did TGIF or SNCC or whatever. You have to pick like a comedy,
sitcom, a drama. Yeah. I could see that.
That's a good idea,
Riggs. I like that.
People, I love the cross promotion. People have to now listen to No Quitters, the Challenge podcast, to get a preview.
Get the early scoop.
This is how we're gonna do it.
Yeah, where are we at on this? Skip it.
Yeah. When we get off, I'm ordering it. Okay, I promise. I need something to make me put me in a better mood here.
Yeah, and he's in a bad mood. We don't want Stone Cold Ed next week. We want Happy Ed. We want not a bad Ed. So as always, don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.